So last week and the week before, we were looking at prophets. We were with Isaiah. And there was the beginning of hope in some of the stories that we're reading of this idea of a perfect king. And today, we've moved from the prophets and we're going back to kings, back to look at kings again. And this morning, we're going to look at a very short episode in the story of Josiah. Now, I have actually a video to start with, so this is particularly for those of you who have a learning style of cartoons. Okay, this will be, I hope, more in your line. So let's hear the story of Josiah. It's quite quiet.
Josiah became king of Israel when he was only 8 years old. Now the country of Israel had a very long line of kings who did many bad things, including Josiah's father and grandfather. These kings did not follow after God, and they ignored his commandments and his law. But when Josiah became king, he did what God wanted him to and followed the example of King David. 18 years after Josiah became king, he sent one of his court secretaries, Shaphan, to God's temple. Many of the kings before Josiah did not take good care of God's house, so it was in need of repair. While they were in the temple, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the Lord's temple." So Shaphan took the scroll back to King Josiah and read it to him. When Josiah heard what was in the book, he was greatly upset.
Oh, no.
Because the people of Israel were not doing the things that God asked them to do. And Josiah knew that God must be angry with Israel for not obeying his commandments. Josiah gathered together all the people of Israel to the temple and read the entire book of the covenant to them. That very day, Josiah and all the people promised that they would obey all of what God commanded with all their hearts and souls. Josiah went on to help Israel become a people fully committed to God. He tore down all the other temples and the idols that they had set up. He got rid of all the people who were doing bad things all throughout Israel. And he did all that was commanded in God's book. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since.
Two Kings 23 verse 25 says this, and it was in the video as well, the last bit. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with the laws of Moses. If only we could describe our leaders in that way, how different our country would be. I'm going to read now from the Bible. I'm reading from the New International Version. I think the words will be up on screen, and you can follow along, but this is the story now as it is in the Bible. So let's hear from God's word. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and make him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Make them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And make these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also make them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me the book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And then we're skipping on to 2 Kings 23, the first three verses. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Amen. I've been wondering this last week what sort of a world Josiah was born into. His father was Amon, who ruled for 2 years before his own officials conspired against him and killed him. The Bible tells us he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, worshipping the idols that his father had worshipped. And Amon's father, Josiah's grandfather, was Manasseh, who ruled for 55 years and also did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So what was this evil? What sort of a world did Josiah inherit? And we saw in the little video the temples and the statues that had been put up. And I think sometimes we could be quite dismissive about ancient cultures. We read histories and we read in the Bible as well of temples to various gods, Zeus and Diana's and things. And there are elements of that in the reign of Manasseh as well. He erected altars, places of worship, to Baal. He made an Asherah pole, which is a sacred tree or piece of wood to honor and worship an ancient mother goddess in the Canaan area. So yeah, we can be quite flippant about all that and pride ourselves. We don't do such things. That's not part of us. That's not who we are. But actually, do you know, when I was thinking about it, maybe I do. Maybe the latest up-to-date phone is my altar that I like to worship at. Or the right label in our clothes, or the right shoes, or actually having a good social media profile. So yeah, there are plenty, I think, plenty of modern day equivalents. I don't think any of these things that I mentioned of the modern times are bad in and of themselves. It's our attitude to them. It's when they take our eyes off God and we become devoted to our phone rather than anything else that there's a problem. So was that the extent of the evil that Josiah was born into? Actually, no. You know, before the bit we read today, the passage gives us more information. He consulted, Manasseh, we're on the grandfather here, consulted mediums and what are called spiritists. He read the stars. Now, that's interesting, because all these years later, that's still around. Okay, that's not something, a pole in the middle of a ground that people go to worship. But actually, mediums, tarot card reading, spiritists, reading the stars, is something that's still very much part of our culture. And when I, before I became a Christian, I would have dabbled in these things. And that's how I thought of it, as dabbling, which is kind of implies it's a little bit of harmless fun. But actually, the same sentence where these are mentioned in 2 Kings 22, the same sentence starts with the words, "He sacrificed his own son in the fire." The writer of Kings is equating killing your own children with consulting mediums, spiritists, okay? It's all one sentence. Consulting with mediums and spiritists is not harmless fun in the Bible's eyes, in God's eyes, at all. And I can remember when I came to faith saying to my minister that I'd been involved in some of these things, and it was probably one of the quickest times he'd ever agreed to meet me. Within an hour or so of me sending an email, "This isn't a problem, is it?" There was a phone call to say, "Could I pop round?" And so I kind of thought, "Oh, okay, this is important, this matters." And I didn't say it then, okay, until we chatted through it, he spoke through it with me. But I began to see that actually going to a spiritist or a medium or consulting your stars and astrology is bowing the knee to another God. It is looking to that as an authority over your life rather than God himself. And that we are not permitted to do. We do not bow down to other gods. And so, yeah, there's something in here for all of us. Many of you may have known that, but some of you, that may be new information, but that's not something that Christians do. We do not give authority of our lives to one who is not God. So I maybe am beginning to build up a picture that Josiah is born into a world very different from what God had wanted for him. He's born into a world where God is forgotten, the world is evil, sacrificing children is okay. But maybe, and I don't even know this for sure because it isn't clear, but maybe there is one light in his life. Josiah's grandmother is called Hephzibah, which means my delight is in her, as in the Lord's delight is in her. There is a hint that Josiah's grandmother was a follower of God, although nothing more is said at this time. And maybe there was a good influence in his life, because somehow, in the midst of all of the evil that was around him, Josiah, at 8 years old, made the choice to follow not man, not his king father or grandfather, but the one true God, the God of his ancestors. And that is an amazing story about an eight-year-old child. No wonder Jesus says to us, "Come to me like children." Josiah got it right, where his father and grandfather got it wrong. And so he was born into an evil culture. He was faced with difficult circumstances around him. The influences will have been really strong, but yet he made a choice. He made a choice to seek the perfect king. Now, this Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday. It's not a day particularly celebrated in the Presbyterian Church, but for those of you who have maybe come from Anglican backgrounds or Roman Catholic backgrounds, it might be a familiar name to you. But on this day, the church all around the world just take that time to acknowledge Jesus as the perfect king. And as we begin to start Advent, which begins next week, we begin to look at the idea of Jesus coming back again. And so today is the day we kind of celebrate Jesus as our perfect king. Josiah is named as a great king, but Jesus Christ as being the only perfect king. And so each of us are given the opportunity to make the decision about who we choose to follow, who we allow to influence us, whether that's in school, whether that's in our workplace, whether that's in our homes with our friends and families. Can I have the next slide? Thanks, Jeremy. No, move on. That's him, yeah. Can any of the younger generation tell me who this is? I don't know if you count as the younger generation. Do you think you do? Spot on.
I was young when he was popular.
Okay, right, okay. Kanye West, yes, yeah. So he's been in the news quite a bit recently. Okay, he has been in the news quite a bit recently. I mean, I'm guessing there'll be quite a number of people here who have absolutely no idea who this man is. So I'm going to tell you a little bit. He's a rapper. He's an American rapper. He's worth about $240 million, a lot of money. And he's married to Kim Kardashian. That means absolutely nothing to me. So I had to Google it, and I found out that this is a woman who is famous for being famous. From what I can make out, she's done nothing. She's a socialite who has somehow become famous. And that just kind of brings it home to me, really, what a strange culture it is they live in. But Kanye has had a troubled past, I think it's fair to say. But I'm going to show you a little clip in a moment or two of a video of Kanye. It's actually part of the James Corden carpool karaoke series, but it's a twist on it. He's actually in, James Corden pretends he's missed a flight and he has to hitch a lift in Kanye's plane, okay, along with all his singers. It's quite a long video. It's all over the internet. It's very easy to find, and I really recommend watching the whole 20 minutes, but I've just got about 4 minutes for you here. So what you're going to see is a mix of chat and then a song, okay? For the more mature ears in the room, it's quite fast moving. You're going to have to listen hard, okay? The rap music is quite fast, but actually if you focus, you will get some of the lines in it. And from somebody who talks about having interrupted MTV Music Awards with a bottle of Hennessy and come up and said that they gave the award to the wrong person, made all sorts of bad scenes in his past and has had a difficult life. This is such a different Kanye. So, Jeremy, if you could play that for me, and I hope it works now. Can you turn up the volume a bit? That's amazing, isn't it? He's produced an album called Jesus is King, okay? And this guy, I couldn't even find a social media presence for him. Instead, his fans just have them. He just seems to have been so famous, he's actually grown beyond social media. He's quite a remarkable influence. But Kanye made a choice. And he made a choice, just like Josiah did all those years ago, to shift from the evil in the culture and instead look towards God instead. And now he is someone who influences the younger generation, the primary school, the secondary school kids, the students. I don't know what age your fans go up to with rap, but it's not generally my age, I have to say that far. But there he is singing lines, "We're here to turn atheists into believers." I don't know if you're able to pick up any of the songs, from any of the lines throughout that. But he has made his choice. So what about us as a church? Who do we choose as a church to allow to influence us? I'm going to put up a photograph in a moment, and I apologize in advance for it. And I would like to say at the outset, this, I am not making a political point, okay? Jeremy, thank you. You will probably recognize at least two people in that. But there are two leaders in that who find themselves facing accusations of inappropriate behavior. Indeed, one of them has got a court date confirmed in the last few days, I think. And the cleric, the man in the middle in the red, is actually part of the Church of Scotland, and this is part of a Church of Scotland procession. But we choose to align ourselves with people of power and royalty as well. We flatter ourselves, perhaps, with the attention of men in authority and power. And we can't help but be influenced by that if that's who we choose to hang out with. Josiah did not associate himself with the way of his father or his grandfather. Jesus did not associate himself with the religious spirit of the Pharisees. And I have to say, this is not a Church of Scotland thing, okay? You only need to slip across the pond and look at the way senior evangelical leaders are hanging out with the American president and seeking to curry favor there as well. This is a church thing, okay? But I would like to say it is not the way of Jesus. It is not what we should be looking to do in who we are, in telling our neighbors, our friends, who we are and what we have faith in. Josiah's reading of the scroll, we have the laws of Moses being found, which had been long forgotten. And so that must have been an absolute pivotal moment in faith, in the timeline of faith. There will have been a rethinking, a rediscovering of the ways of God, and a reforming. It's one of the first instances recorded in the Bible where a community followed the Bible as a source of faith and life. And I suspect it probably had much the same effect as Luther's Reformation 500 years ago. This little passage that we're looking at today, it was a massive thing for Josiah to shift from the old ways of the pagan gods back to following God again. And so Josiah read the scroll. It was most likely a scroll rather than a book. It'll probably, most commentators would agree, that it probably comes from a middle chunk in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, which is part of the laws. And so Josiah will have been rereading all of the old laws of Moses. And so there followed a renewal, a pledging themselves to the covenant, to keep the law and to make that choice to do so. And after they've made that choice, Josiah starts to make changes in the country. Down come the temples, the old ways, the old gods are pulled down, destroyed and burnt. You can read about the story if you go back and I've just given edited highlights today. So we've looked at what Josiah did, we've looked at Kanye did, and the Church of Scotland's way as well. But what about us as individuals? Who do we choose to follow? Do you surround yourself, and I guess the answer to this is pretty much no, okay, but with powerful politicians or minor royalty, mere men who then go astray? Or do you seek King Jesus? I look around this room, and most of the people here I see are actively seeking Jesus. And very often, the place we find him, the place where we find he is active, he calls us to, is to people on the margins of our society, the poorest, the broken, the lost, and the wounded. I've got a confession to make. I was stalking a new Facebook friend on Saturday morning. And I found they put their Amazon wish list onto Facebook. And so with that new friend, and I kind of think, I don't actually know that much about them. I'm just going to have a wee look to see what they want for Christmas. And I have to say, it's quite a wish list. It's a list of items for the homeless. Foam mats, sleeping bags, 10,000, okay? We're not looking for one or two. We're looking for quite a number here. Warm clothes for men and women, coats, underwear, everything that they might possibly need. So I was kind of thinking, I might use that. And then I kind of remembered, actually, this man's getting married next Sunday. I could promote it in church. And then if anybody in church felt, oh, I'd quite like to add to that, that they might use the wedding, or they just might need use the fact that the night shelters are about to open. So Jim Coleman and Etta are marrying next Sunday. They are two people. They are just, and I'm just choosing them because I happened upon Jim's wish list. Jim Coleman's wish list is on Amazon, and if anybody would like to choose to buy something from that and to give it to them, it will go to the night shelter, okay? You can also go to Asda or wherever else and buy it as well. But that's where we find Jesus, all right? Now, what form that might take for each one of us is going to be different, and as a church, we're trying to see, just wrestle with that and see just what that might look like. But as we begin to move into this next season, and God calls us to sort of focus on what we do, where we go, what happens next, actually, for any here who don't know what to get for people for Christmas, then a wish list such as Jim has put together for Glasgow City Mission, I think would be a good place to start. So, in view of the fact that they get married next Sunday, so I'm guessing they might not be in church next Sunday morning, they might have other things, I thought we could pray for them as a church now and just bless them. So what I'm going to pray, okay, and anybody who happens to be sitting nearby or who wants to go over and put hands on their shoulders can do so. There's a noise. It's not me, is it? No. Okay. Yes, so let's pray for Jim and Etta now. Lord, we pray for our dear family, Jim and Etta. We pray that you would plant them by streams of living water, and that that living water will flow out from their innermost being by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give them wisdom, discernment, and guidance, that they may always cherish each other and find ways to demonstrate their love. Help them to challenge and encourage each other and not to settle for anything less other than what you have made them for. Jesus, I ask that they will grow stronger in you so that when the winds and storms of life come, they would not be easily shaken and their marriage would stay strong. Bless and protect their bodies, their minds, their spirit. Bring healing, bring restoration where it is needed. Protect, Lord, their ministries at the margin of society. May their voices be heard. May their love for Jesus be obvious to all around them. And Jesus, may you be at the center and ever present in every day of their lives together. May they find you at the dinner table, in the car, in the decisions, in the testing times and the joyful days. Cause them to fall deeper in love with you, which will cause them to grow deeper in love with each other as the overflow of that love. Help them to not lean on their own wisdom and understanding, but on you, Lord, your words, your plans. And in all things, may love, faith, and hope abide, but most of all, love. Bless them next Sunday and forever, we pray. Amen. You can go and chat to them and hear all news and find out. Did we get the roll mat? Never went up, did it, Jeremy? Oh, it did. Right, okay, yeah. There's loads of roll mats on there as well. Ask Jim what else he put in the list, okay? I'm just throwing that out there now. On this Christ the King Sunday, who is your king? Who do you follow? Whose influence do you seek? And I encourage you, as we begin Advent this coming week, to take stock, to consider what's going on in your lives, consider the influences, and if they are not godly, to get rid of them, and to choose the way of Jesus. Like Josiah did, as a child, step away from the things evil, and with all your heart and soul and strength, turn to Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray together just before I go? Almighty God, we thank you for the story of Josiah. We thank you for the reminder that we can be taught by children, that we can have children in our lives who show us the way to turn, turning away from evil and instead turning towards you. And I pray that for each one of us here, we would be able to examine our lives, to look at the small things and the big. And for those things that just have come into our mind now, that we know that's not something I should be doing, Lord, give us grace to say sorry and to turn away from it. And for anyone here who's facing big decisions or even small decisions, Father, we pray that you would show them Jesus' way. That any decisions would be made in the aftermath of prayer. And that includes the big decisions, particularly as we look at the leadership changing in our government potentially. We pray, Lord, we pray for a godly government. Whether they recognize you or not, we pray, Lord, that they would be influenced by you, that they would be men and women of integrity, that they would be men and women of compassion, that they would be willing to serve not just the mighty and the great in this land and those who have influence and money, but actually that they would serve and protect the weakest, the oldest, those who are most unwell, the stranger in our midst. Lord, may we, with Jesus' eyes, do Jesus' work in this parish and in this country and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.